Okay, I am recording as well. Okay, Yasha Koyach, everybody for coming. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by the Shimon Goldman family, L'zecher Nishmas Yisrael Moshe ben Shimon, Olav HaShalom. His yahrzeit is this Friday, the 8th of Kislev, Reb Shimon Goldman's father. So the neshama should have an aliyah. Yasha koyach, thank you very much. Last week we discussed how Shemitah cancels the chayvus. We learned last week that according to most Rishonim, and that's the halacha, that Shemitah does not cancel the chov until the end of the year. Although the Rush says that you're not allowed to press for your money already from the beginning of the year, so according to the Rush, it would already be too late. The halacha does not follow the Rush. The halacha follows the Rambam and others, that you have the whole year to claim your chayvos, and the debt is not canceled until the end of the year. We also discussed last week that there's a fundamental machlokes between the Mordechai, who brings a Rabbeinu Avigdor, against the Reb Eliezer Mimitz, against the Urayim, that the Mordechai holds that the Shemitah, the money, the debt, is an Afkata de Malka, that Hashem cancels the loan, whether you like it or not. Hashem cancels the loan. And it's just a formality for the Malveh to say, Shamit Ani. It's a formality. But the loan was canceled regardless whether the Malveh likes it or not. We also said that the Urayim, Reb Eliezer Mimitz, argues and says that when the Malveh is required to say Shamit Ani, we actually need to hear from the Malveh that he is waiving the loan, that he's being moichel the loan. So Toby, you said a Gishmak of Pshat that Kikara Shmita, it might be going on the Afkat of the Malka according to the Mordechai, or it might be going on the Malveh according to the Urayim. So that was very Gishmak. So there's a fundamental machoikis whether we require the Malveh to be moichel, and he has a mitzvah to do so, and it can be enforced, or whether or not the loan is canceled regardless of Afkata de Malka. We discussed that. We also discussed that Rashi's opinion is that after everything's said and done, that the Shemitah cancels the loan, there's still a mitzvah for the loive, a mitzvah de Rabbanan. The Mishnah says at the end of Shemitah, at the end of Shvius, that if the loive takes advantage of the malveh and doesn't reimburse him, ein ruach hachamim loicha himenu, the hachamim are not happy with him, and there's actually a mitzvah derabbanan to gift the money. We have to observe the Shemitah and recognize that the loan was canceled, but there's still a mitzvah to gift the money. We gave other examples of that where we find that is a legal subterfuge, so to speak, to gift the money and not give it as a payment of the debt. And to the extent that Rashi holds, the Malveh could force the Loive to gift the money. It sounds bizarre, but the Malveh could force the Loive to gift the money because there's a mitzvah derabbanan for the Loive to gift the money. Others argue, but Reb Moshe still wants to say that there's a mitzvah derabbanan to gift the money. We also discussed whether or not we treat a Suffolk Shemitah as a Suffolk Mammon, and that we would follow the laws of Mochzik, that possession is 9/10 of the law, hamotzi mechaver olav araya, or would we treat a suffik shmitah as a suffik iser, and being that shmitah bizman hazeh is only the rabbanan, so we would be lenient, we would remove the iser, and on the contrary, the loiva would have to pay against the laws of mochzik, because the suffik shmitah is an iser veheter, shmitah is not a mamonis. So we discussed all that last week, basically how the shmitah works, what the mechanics of the loan being waived is. So this week, we wanted to speak about the antidote, so to speak. We want to speak about writing the prosbul. So as we mentioned, the loan, according to most Mefarshim, the loan is not canceled until the end of the Shemitah year. So that's why it's important to get your prosbul out Erev Rosh Hashanah, at least by Shkia of Rosh Hashanah, this coming Rosh Hashanah, not last Rosh Hashanah, this coming Rosh Hashanah, which would be the end of the Shemitah year. So we're going to talk about the prosbul today. We'll discuss how the prosbul works, and we'll also, Amit Hashem, discuss what happens if somebody forgot to write a prosbul. Is there any recourse? Is his loan forfeited? seemingly it would be, is there any recourse, and what are the Poskim have to say about that? So let's learn the Gemara together. A Gemara in Gittin, Lamed Vav, Amud Aleph, Tanan Hasam, Prospo. Now, if you notice right away, in the title, I wrote it with a Zion, Prusbo. And in the Gemara, they spell it with a Samach. So the truth is that both spellings are valid. What does the word Prusbul mean? So in the footnote, I brought the Rashi. Prusbul is a contraction between two words. Prusbul, the Lashon Prus, which means it's a takana, whether you spell it Prus or you spell it Pruz with a Zion. It's an Aramaic word, which means it's a takana. And bull, the second half of the word, means for ashirim, for wealthy people. Because we're going to see in the Gemara that being that Shemitah cancels the loan, and being that the Torah says that the malve doesn't have to worry about that, he should lend the money anyway, knowing that his loan might end up being canceled. If the loive lets the payment drag until after Shemitah, the loan will be canceled. The Torah nevertheless says, Hishomer lecha, that you have to guard yourself lest you have some unruly thought not to lend the money because you're afraid it'll be canceled. The Torah says, don't do that. Lend the money anyway. The pasuk's requiring us to lend the money and take the chance that the loan will be canceled. Hillel saw that that's a very difficult nisayon for most people, so he gave us a solution. He enacted Prusbul, which is a takana for the Ashirim, that at least they have a way to lend money and that their loan is protected legally, and they're not fulfilling the mitzvah of Shemitah per se, but at least they're not violating Hishomer Lecha. So it's a takana for the Ashirim that they should feel free to lend, not in fear of it being canceled, because they might abstain and they might be in violation of Hishomer Lecha, because otherwise people might not want to lend. So it's actually a takana for the Yashir. Okay. So let's go back to the top Aleph in the notes. Tnan Hasam. So there's a Mishnah in Meseches Shvias. Prusbul Enu Mishana. If the loan was covered by a prusbul, if you wrote a certain document, the loan is not canceled. Ze Echad Min HaDvarim Shehiskin Hillel HaZaken. These are one of the many things that Hillel HaZaken enacted. What was the story? Hillel HaZaken noticed that malves, potential creditors, were not lending money the way they usually do. The avru amashikasu b'Torah, and they're in violation of what it says in the Torah. He shamer lecha pen yeh davar im levavcha b'li yal. Lest, guard yourself, lest you entertain a thought b'li yal, b'li ol. Like a yokeless thought that God forbid you should entertain not lending the money because you're afraid that the loan will be canceled. It's just to think about this is tremendous, that we're not saying that you should throw away your money. We're saying lend your money and make sure to collect the loan before the end of Shemitah. But the person might be afraid that there might be sort of a fiscal cliff, that as soon as the Shemitah, as soon as Rosh Hashanah comes, it's going to cancel his loan. Don't worry about that. There is such a thing, but lend the money and try to collect it before. Don't just take the easy way out of not lending the money. So what happened? Omad v'hiskin prusbul. So Hillel got up and he enacted the prusbul. What is a prusbul? Zehu gufoy shel prusbul. This is the text of the prusbul. You stand before three dayanim, and there's actually a question in the Gemara. Does it have to be formal, real dayanim mumchin, or is it the way we practice today, that we just take three guys and we sit down together and we write a prusbul? It doesn't have to be a formal bezin. So there's actually a question about that, but obviously the minig is, the Ramah, that we use three hedyotos, we use three common people, and we consider that good enough to be a bezin. Musrani lochem ploini dayanim, I am giving to you ploini dayanim, you three judges, shevamakom ploini, in such and such a place, shekol chov sheyesh li eitzel ploini, that any debt that I have, she'egvenu kozman she'erza, that I should be allowed to collect it anytime I want. You're basically saying, I am giving over to you, dayanim, that I should be allowed to collect my debt. And the dayanim choismim lamata oyho edim, and either the judges themselves could sign in the capacity of a judge, the three people would sign. That's usually how it's done, that the three people that were playing the role of the dayanim would be the ones who signed, or two out of the three or two other people can sign to vouch, to testify that you have done this prosbo. What is the concept of the prosbo? So the Gemara explains, Tosfos explains it a little bit more in detail in Maseches Makos and in other places, that the idea is if one would literally give his debts over to a Bezdin, the Bezdin would be entitled to collect the loan and it wouldn't be subject to Shemitah because it's not considered lo yigois es re'ehu. It's not one friend pressing his friend or his neighbor, his brother, for the loan. It's a Bezdin. It's almost like a corporation. It's a non-entity. You're not collecting your own loan. You're a Bezdin that's collecting the money for themselves. That would work midoraisa. If you would actually give your debt over to a Bezdin, and the Bezdin would somehow be collecting it in the form of a communal collection, that would work midoraisa. Because it wouldn't be lo yigois es re'ehu o yes achiv. It wouldn't be that you are pressing your friend on a personal level. The takana of Prosbul was to treat it like that. It's a legal fiction. To treat it as if I'm giving the debt over to the Bezdin, but really I'm going to collect the debt myself and I'm going to keep the money for myself, but I'm acting, so to speak, as a Shliach Bezdin. So it's only rabbinic because you didn't really give the debt over to the Bezdin. The Bezdin's not getting the money. You're getting the money. So you're going ahead and collecting the money for yourself. But we treat it as if you're acting on behalf of the Bezdin, and that's the Adurabanan. It was a Takana of Hill. So asks the Gemara the obvious question. Hiksha HaGemara. Let's move on to item base. So the Gemara asks, Mi yikamidi, is there such a thing? The midoraisa mishamta shvias, that midoraisa the shmita canceled the loan. Because we're saying that prosbo is a takana, it's a legal fiction. You didn't really give the shtaris, the chayvis, over to the bezin. So as far as shmita is concerned, it already canceled the loan. So how is it possible that if the shmita canceled the loan, the hiskin hillel deloy mishamta, how could Hillel get up and allow you to claim the money if the money was already, if the loan was already void? It was already canceled. So answers the Gemara, Omar Abaya, Bishvias Bizman Hazeh. The answer is that we're not speaking about a case when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, when Klal Yisrael is living Roiv Minyan and Roiv Binyan in Eretz Yisrael. You're right. Hillel's Takana only works nowadays because nowadays Shemitah is only the Rabbanan in the first place. What was the question? The question was that if the Torah canceled the loan, how can Hillel make a takana and revive the loan that the Torah canceled? The answer is because nowadays Shemitah itself is only the Rabbanan. Midoraisa, the loans are no longer canceled because Shemitah doesn't apply midoraisa nowadays. We'll soon see what the drasha for that is. So the Rabbanan were the ones who canceled the loan in the first place, simulating Shemitah. So if the Rabbanan were the ones who canceled the loan, so the Rabbanan could reinstate the loan, the same Rabbanan, with the Prosbul. So it's not that the Torah canceled it and Hillel is magically bringing the Chayv back. Because if the Torah canceled it, how can Hillel bring the Chayv back? The answer is the Chayv was never canceled. The whole Shemitah Bizman Hazeh itself is only the Rabbanan. The loan was only canceled rabbinically, and therefore Hillel could make a takana that the same rabbis who canceled the loan, they can reinstate the loan with the prosbul, because the whole cancellation of the loan in the first place, nowadays, is only the Rabbanan. And it's going according to Rebbe. Rebbe's of the opinion that Shemitah nowadays is only the Rabbanan. The Sanya, we learned in a brisa, Rebbe Oimer, Rebbe says, V'zeh zvar ha-Shemitah shamat. The Pasuk says, this is the matter of Shemitah. We cited this Pasuk last week. That's how we know that the Malva has to say, Shomet Ani, Dvar HaShemitah. So Rebbe makes another drasha. Zed Dvar HaShemitah, Shamot. So the Pasuk repeats itself. This is the matter of Shemitah, Shamot. Now we actually had last week that we had a different drasha. This is the Dibor of Shemitah that the Malva should say, Shomet Ani. Rebbe's making a completely different drasha, that it's as if the Pasuk is hinting to two different types of Shemitahs, Zed Dvar HaShemitah Sham. B'shtei Shemitahs HaKasav Medaber. The Pasuk is alluding to two different Shemitahs. Achas Shemitahs Karka, one is Shemitah Karka, B'achas Shemitahs Ksafim, and the other one is the cancel of loans. So Bizman she'ata mishamet karka, when you cancel the fields, ata mishamet kesafim, then you cancel the loans. Bizman she'iata mishamet karka, but when you don't cancel the fields, iata mishamet kesafim, you wouldn't have to cancel the loan. So what does this drasha mean exactly? There's actually a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says what it means is that shmitas kesafim is intertwined with not working the land. So bizman she'ata mishamet karka, when you're not allowed to work the land, then you have to cancel the loan. Nowadays, midoraisa, you are allowed to work the land. The whole prohibition against working the land in Eretz Israel nowadays is only rabbinic. Why? Says Rashi, because the kedushas ha'aretz is batal. To a certain, it's a discussion in the Gemara, but to a certain extent, once there was the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the sanctity of the land is compromised. So the laws against working the land were suspended. Therefore, once you're allowed to work the land, the loans are no longer canceled. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns that Shemitah's Karka refers to the reversal of the transactions. We all know that in Eretz Israel, if a person sells his steyachuza, he sells his heritage, his ancestral property, once Yovel comes, it voids the sale, and 50 years later, on the Yovel year, all the original fields revert back to their ancestral, their proper owner. Yovel, everything is brought back, and the loan, the transactions were canceled. Yovel doesn't apply nowadays, because in order for Yovel to apply, you have to have the majority of Klal Yisrael, the Shvatim. I don't think it would help to like take a census how many Jews there are in the world, and is the majority of the Jews living in Israel? Because the Mefarshim explain you have to have the Shvatim lined up. 10 tribes we know are officially lost. So I don't think it will be possible today to just make a census of the known, identify the Jews in the world. Is there a majority of those Jewish people living in Israel? Because there are many more Jews and Shvatim that are temporarily lost and Nidche, that are pushed away, that are sort of semi-assimilated. And we would need the entire Klal Yisrael, the majority of Klal Yisrael, to be living in the land in order for Yovel to apply. So Tosfos explains, when there's no Yovel, there's no Shemitah. So either way you slice it, Shemitah nowadays is only the Rabbanan, and Hashmatas Ksafim, the canceling of the loans, is only rabbinic. Either because there's no Yovel today, or because there's technically no prohibition against working the land today. Either way, Hashmatas Ksafim is only the Rabbanan. So therefore, Tekinu Rabbanan de Teshamet Zeich L'Shias. The Rabbanan wanted us to remember the concept of Shemitah. They didn't want us to get out of the habit of observing Shemitah. So they instituted that the loans are canceled and that Shemitah applies. Ra Hillel Shenindu Ha'am L'Halvay Zeitzeh. Hillel noticed that people were abstaining, were refusing to lend. Omar V'Hiskin Prusbel. So he went ahead and established the Prusbel. So the question was, if the loan is canceled on a biblical level, how could Hillel reinstate the loan? The answer is that the loan is only canceled rabbinically, and therefore Hillel can reinstate the loan because the loan was never really canceled. The loan, as far as the Torah is concerned, Shemitah's Kesafim doesn't apply. But now we have the opposite question. Item Gimel, the opposite question, because you answer one question, but you just created another question. The original question was, if Shemitah cancels the loan, how can Hillel revive the loan that was canceled? So what did we answer? That midoraisa, the loan is not canceled, the loiva has to pay back, but the rabbanon canceled the loan. So we can ask the identical question the other way. Hiksha ha-gemara shuv. So I wrote, the gemara persists, the gemara continues to ask. Mi ika midi the midoraisa loy misham tishnis. But now the question is turned around. If midoraisa, the loiva has to pay back the loan, vitokinu rabbanon de tishamet. So now the question is the reverse. How could the rabbis cancel the loan if midoraisa, the loiva has to pay the loan back? What did we accomplish by saying Shemitah nowadays is only the Rabbanan? You're just kicking the question down the road a little further. Because midoraisa, the loiva has to pay back, and it's only the Rabbanan who canceled the loan. So very nice, the Rabbanan can reinstate it, but how did they cancel the loan in the first place? So there are two answers in the Gemara. Omer Abaye, Shava al Taisehu. Abaye answers, Shava al Taisehu. We're allowing the loiva to be shava al taisa. We're allowing the loiva to passively not pay back the loan. The rabbis have the power to be oiker davar min haTorah. They can uproot something that it says in the Torah passively. They do it all the time. They told us not to blow shofar if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. They told us not to take the lulav if Sukkot falls out on Shabbos. They're telling us not to do a mitzvah. How can they do that? Because they're not telling us to do an aveira. They're not telling us to eat chazer. They're telling us to passively allow the mitzvah of shofar to expire. Don't blow shofar. They're not telling us to get up and violate Yom Tov. They're telling us, don't blow shofar. Passively allow the mitzvah of shofar to expire. Allow the mitzvah of shofar to pass you by and don't do it. So they're doing the same thing here, says Abaye. They're not telling the loivet to get up and steal. They're telling the loivet to simply, quietly, passively, don't pay back the loan. You have a mitzvah to pay back the loan. They're telling you, you can ignore the mitzvah. You can just remain idle. You can passively allow the mitzvah to pay the payback to pass you by and don't pay it back. So Abaye says it's shava al taisa. Rava says it's much more than that. Rava omar hefker bezin hefker. Rava says, and the Gemara brings psukim, we once talked about this, we had a shir about this. Rava says, hefker bezin hefker, the rabbis have the ability to declare someone's money ownerless. So you know the mechanism that they use, you know how they cancel the loan? Because they have at their disposal the ability to declare somebody's money ownerless. So you owe me money, midoy raisa, you should have to pay me back the money, but the rabbis want us to remember the mitzvah of Shemitah. So the rabbis declared that loan ownerless, and therefore you can keep your money. I don't have a claim on the money because the money was declared ownerless. So it's very interesting. Abaye says the way it works is the rabbis did not cancel the loan. You still owe me the money. The rabbis are saying that you can passively neglect the mitzvah of paying back the money that you owe. You're not stealing actively. You got the money, Beheter. I lent you the money, fair and square. You have a mitzvah to pay back the money. The rabbis are simply allowing you to passively neglect the mitzvah to pay back the loan. Rava says it's much deeper than that. The Rabbanan are declaring the loan ownerless, and once the Rabbanan do that, you no longer owe me the money. So Abaye and Rava are arguing, are disputing, what mechanism did the Rabbanan use to institute Shemitah Bizman Hazeh in the first place? Abaye says they passively allow you to neglect the mitzvah of paying back. You know, the check is in the mail and that's it. And you're not paying it back. And Rava says that they actually were mafkia. They actually removed the loan by declaring the debt ownerless, and therefore the loiva can acquire the money. It occurred to me when I was learning this Gemara, it's interesting, that Rava and Abaye, it's very similar to the machoikes on a deraisa level between the Re'im, between the Ureim, the Rav Lezer Mimitz, and between the Mordechai. Because if you remember on the deraisa level, the Mordechai says that how is the loiva exempt? It's an afkat the malka. What that means is that the Torah canceled the loan. That parallels Rava. Rava says the Rabbanan canceled the loan. You no longer owe the money. It would be wrong of me to collect the money because the money is no longer mine. The money is yours. The Rabbanan canceled the loan. However, Abaye says that they never canceled the loan. You still owe me the money. They're just passively allowing you to not fulfill the mitzvah of repaying the loan. But technically, you still owe me the money. That reminded me of the Re'im, that you need the Malvet to be moichel the loan. The money is really still owed. It's not an afkata the Malko. The Torah never canceled the loan. You still really owe me the money. It's just my mitzvah not to collect the loan. So that's very similar to Abaye's mechanism, that the rabbis simply exempt the loiva from paying back the money, but they never were mafkir the money. I was thinking there would be an afkamina. There would actually be a practical difference between Rava's mechanism and Abaye's mechanism. What would happen if the malve would grab the money out of the loiva's hands? Remember, we're all going now, Shemitah Bizman Hazeh, the rabbis instituted that the Shemitah cancels the loan. What would happen if the malve snatches the money from the loiva? According to Abaye, seemingly, he would be able to keep the money. Because you owe me the money. You owe me the money. It's just the rabbis allowed you to passively neglect paying back the loan. They never were mafkia the loan. So if I would grab the money myself, forget about the mitzvah to pay back the loan. I took the money myself. Abaye would seemingly allow the Malva to keep the money because it's my money. According to Rava, the Rabbanan were mafkir the money. They granted the money to the Loive. So if the Malva would grab the money from the Loive, he would be taking money that's not rightfully his because the rabbis were mafkir the money and the Loive acquired the loan. He no longer owes the money. So if I would grab the money from the Loive, I would be a thief. But according to Abaye, seemingly, the money is still mine. It's still owed to me. It's just that they allowed you to neglect paying back the money. But if I would grab the money myself, then the money is rightfully mine. Seemingly, that would be a mahalakas
Abaye and Rava. That's a question about Abaye. Does Abaye not hold from the concept of hefker bez and hefker?
He does. But I guess he held that it wasn't necessary to employ that here. In other words, when we actually discussed the topic of hefker bez and hefker, we spoke that it's multi-leveled and the rabbis have a range of to what extent they want to be mafka the money. So Abaye must have felt that it was not necessary to go the extra mile of being mafkir the money. They can simply allow the loive to not pay it back. It wasn't necessary to employ that. It's like overkill. It would be a disproportionate response, right? They can simply allow him to not pay back the money now. But it would have a consequence, seemingly, that the money is technically owed, and if the malva would grab it, seemingly the malva would be able to hold on to the money. So it struck me that these two mechanisms would seem to sort of parallel the Relezer Mimins and the Mordechai on a deraisa level. I found that to be interesting.
Why do they use the lashon of mafkir on the money?
Hefker bez and hefker, because we learn from psukim. The Gemara right. Gittin brings
but
those psukim.
But how do we understand when they're mafkir?
So
that means that so when the malva does grab. No matter who, what side you hold by.
Oh, very good. Because the loive acquired it already. You know, you owe me $100, Toby, and the rabbis were mafkir, that I no longer have a claim on that money. So who's the first rights to the money? You, because the money's in your wallet. The money's in your bank account. So you automatically acquire the money. So if I would grab the money from you, I'm grabbing money that's already yours because they were mafkir, the money. Okay. So I found that to be interesting. That was item hey, that this machlekes here parallels the machlekes. It's in a way, it's similar to the machlekes on a deraisa level of the Re'em and the Mordechai. In item vav, so I brought the Rambam. The Rambam taka paskins like the Gemara, the way it says. The Rambam says in Hilcha Shmita v'Yevel Perek Tes Halacha Beis and Gimel, quote, Ein shmitas k'safim leheges min ha'Torah b'shvias el bizman shehayevel noig. The Rambam seems to learn like Tosfos that as if there's no Yovel, if the transactions are not being canceled, then the loans are not being canceled. And therefore, Shmita Bizman Azeh, there's no Shmita nowadays. Umidivrei Soifrim, it's only rabbinic, says the Rambam, like the Gemara says, Shitehe Shmitas Ksafim Lehekes Bizman Azeh, Bekol Makom. Shmitas Ksafim applies everywhere, no matter where you are on the globe. Shmitas Ksafim applies, the loans are cancelled everywhere. Afo Pisha in Yoivel Noyeg, even though the Yoivel no longer applies. Why? Kedei Shaloi Tishtakach Torah Shmitas Ksafim Yisrael, in order that we shouldn't forget the mitzvah of Shmitas Ksafim. Vechein Isa Vishulchan Aruch Samach Zayin, I believe it's Samach Vav actually, it might be a mistake. And so too it says in the Shulchan Aruch, the word for word, the Rambam, Shmitas Ksafim applies nowadays, Bekol Makom, everywhere. Okay. Now, it's fascinating, because something that we take for granted, that Shemitah applies nowadays everywhere, and you have to write a prizbol, all of this we take for granted. The Ramah brings, V'chein hu haskamas ha-poiskim, what the Rambam says, what's brought in Shulchan Aruch, is the consensus of all the poiskim, that Shemitah applies nowadays, and the loans are canceled. Abul yesh oimrim, says the Ramah, but there is a yesh oimrim, there is a dissenting opinion. The ein Shemitah meheges bizman hazeh, that nowadays Shemitah doesn't apply at all. There's a Shitas HaRavid. The Ravid says that the only time there was a rabbinic enactment of Shemitah was when at least they were keeping Yovel on a Drabbanon level. But nowadays we don't even keep Yovel anymore, so the Shemitah goes away also. There's a fascinating opinion of the Ravid. We take it for granted that Shemitah applies nowadays, but there are those who hold that Shemitah does not apply even rabbinically nowadays. Ein Shmita Nehegas Bizman Azeh. Now the Ramah says something fascinating. V'nireh, and it appears, sha'aleihem samchu b'medinas elu. That must be the basis for the current minhag, she'ein noyegin din shmita klal b'zman hazeh. That the Ramah takes note around him, he looks around, and he says, what's going on over here? People are not following the laws of Shemitah. People are not canceling their loans. What's going on? Doesn't the Rambam say that Shemitah applies, at least rabbinically, b'zman hazeh, b'kol makom? Says the Ramah takes note, that people are not being noyig Shemitah's ksafim b'zman hazeh. And the Ramah goes further, v'haminig hayu noyig nadayim b'zman harosh. And the fact that people are not taking Shemitah's ksafim seriously was already, that custom was already recorded in the times of the Rush. Rabbeinu Asher, one of the great Rishonim, the Rush in the back of the Gemara, he already noted in the Ksuva that people were not following the laws of Shemitah's Ksafim. People were collecting their loans in spite of the fact that they did not write a prisoner. Shekosa b'Ksuva, the Rush writes in the Ksuva, Shehayat Tzoveach k'kruchya, that the Rush was screaming like a kruchya. I believe the kruchya is like an ostrich or a bird. I think others bring that, it's some other animal. But it's a very strong expression against himself. The Rush writes that I was screaming my head off that people should follow the laws of Shemitah. And the Rush acknowledges that even in his time, people were not keeping the laws of Shemitah's ksafim. Levad bohameh, voy ashkechu bay, and they didn't listen to me. The Ramah quotes that they didn't listen to the Rush. Now the Ramah continues, Ukfar kosvu gam kim achroinim zal tam l'minik, and the achroinim, the various commentators, give reasons why people were not keeping the laws of Shemitah, she'ein noyeg in Shemitah, kimavur in the Marik, shorish tzadik beis, and the Marav Rabbeinu Isulin in the Trumas Hadeshin, which we're going to quote soon. So it's a fascinating thing. The Rambam says that Shemitah applies everywhere, but kol makom. The Ramah says that that is the haskama of the poskim. That is the consensus of the majority of the poskim. However, the Ramah acknowledges that people have not been keeping the laws of Shemitah's Ksafim. People have been collecting loans in spite of the fact that they did not write a prosbo. And the Ramah says, what's going on over here? The Ramah takes note that even in the times of the Rush, one of the early Rishonim, the Rush himself was trying to abolish this minhag. He was trying to institute the writing of the prosbo. Let's follow the Gemara the way it says. But the Rush was unsuccessful at his time. People refused to listen, and people were collecting loans regardless of the fact that they didn't write a prosbo. It reminds me, it's one of the most of the, it reminds me that the Gemara in Sukkah says that on Shmini Aseres we sit in the Sukkah because for us it's a Safik if it's the day 7, day 8. We don't recite a bracha because it's a Safik, but we sit in the Sukkah. And you look around today, There are large segments of Frum Yidden who don't sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, and people scramble to come up with reasons why, how there's a disconnect between what we do and what it says in the Gemara. It's a similar thing here. The Gemara seems to say very clearly that there's a mitzvah of Shemitah nowadays, albeit the Rabbanan. You have to write a prosbul. However, the Ramah and the Rush already take note that people are not writing prosbuls. People are collecting their loans as if Shemitah never happened. What's going on? So the Mefarshim discussed various reasons. The Ramah already suggested a reason. The Ramah already alluded to there are opinions out there, minority opinions, that there's no Shemitah nowadays. So perhaps this minhag is based on those opinions. For some reason, says the Ramah, that minority opinion took hold. Who knows? Maybe it was too hard to keep the laws of Shemitah. Somehow, that minority opinion took hold, and the Ashkenazic community, based on that minority opinion, did not keep the laws of Shemitah. And the Ramah sort of doesn't. He says that the Poskim don't agree, but he doesn't dismiss it out of hand. He acknowledges that was the minhag, and he even cites the Rush that was the minhag. The Trumas Hadeshin, which is what the Ramah brought from Marenu Isulin, in the Trumas Hadeshin, in Simen Shindal 304, they spell it Dush, they don't want to say the word shade. So Shind in Dalit Shin in 304, Simen 304, the Trumas Hadeshin tries to suggest a rationale other than saying that we're relying on a minority opinion, that there is no Shemitah nowadays, he wants to suggest the rationale. What could the reason possible be that people don't have to keep Shemitah, don't have to keep Rosh Hashanah? Says the Truma Sadesha, Nira Limtsoi Tzas Tam Usvar. I can offer a small suggestion why they wouldn't be keeping Shemitah's Ksafim. Amayloi Noegin Teresh Shemitah's Ksafim after the Derasin. Why are people not keeping the laws of Shemitah's Ksafim? Mishum the Kaim Alon Kerebi, Shemitah's Ksafim, Dizman Hazeh, is only the Rabbah. So the reason is because, as the Gemara says, it's only rabbinic. Keeping Shemitah's Ksafim is only the Rabbah. Zeichel Shvias, in order to remember the mitzvah of Shemitah. But midoy raisa, the Gemara tells us, bisman sha'ata mishamid karka ata mishamid ksafim. Shemitah only applies when there's yoiva. Im kein nuchel maimras, so says the Trumas Hadeshin, we can say, deloi tignu zeichel shvias ela ba'artzois ba'arotzois shekroivim li'eretz Yisrael. Kegoin bovel u'mitzrayim. So says the Trumas Hadeshin a fascinating idea that maybe the rabbi, the Gemara doesn't tell us. The Rambam says it applies everywhere. The Gemara doesn't say clearly. Maybe the minhag, the prevalent minhag, says the Truma Sedeshin, in the times of the Rosh and the times of the Ramah, was to assume that the takana durabanan of Shemitah's Ksafim only applied to the immediate outskirts of Eretz Yisrael. They enacted the mitzvah for those living in Eretz Yisrael and for the immediate surroundings of Eretz Yisrael, but not if you're living in the United States, not if you're living in Canada and other places. It doesn't apply. And he brings an example. Afogav de chala noig b'kol ho'aratzais. Even though, for example, everyone knows that when you make a dough, you remove chala. Technically, chala only applies in Eretz Yisrael. It only applies to the grain that was grown in Eretz Yisrael. However, they enacted it universally because Chazal knew we're in Golas. They didn't want us to forget the mitzvah of chala. And they enacted taking chala from the dough, even though it doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz biblically. What's the rationale? Says the Trumas Hadeshin, they treated it as if it was a Chayves Aguf. They treated it as if the mitzvah is not related to the land. Because you're only Chayev and Chala when you make a dough. You're not Chayev and Chala automatically. You don't have to take Chala from grain. You take Chala when you make a dough. When do you make a dough? You make a dough in your kitchen. It's not clearly associated with the land. They treat it like a mitzvah Shebegufay, and therefore they say it applies even in Chutz La'aretz. That's what the Trumas Hadeshin says. Trumas and Maestris, this is something that's not well known, but there is a mitzvah drabanan of Trumas and Maestris, even like it says in Egypt or in places in Babel, Iraq, places that are very close to Eretz Israel. I don't know what people do today, but the Rishonim speak out that in the Aratzis Hasmuchis to Eretz Israel, there is a mitzvah of Trumas and Maestris rabbinically. So the Trumas Hadeshin says that perhaps the minhag is based on the fact that Shemitah's Ksafim is like Truma and Meiser, that it only applies to the areas, the immediate surroundings of Eretz Israel. Although Chala applies everywhere, Shemitah's Ksafim perhaps only applies in the adjacent, the immediate areas surrounding Eretz Israel. And the Trumas Hadeshin himself asks, why would it be different than Chala? Chala is something that's a personal mitzvah that applies everywhere. Shemitah's Ksafim seemingly is not related to the land. The rabbi should have established it everywhere. So says the Trumas Hadeshin, a Ksas Tam, that since Shemitah's Ksafim is connected very closely to the mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel, so since Shemitah and Yovel apply primarily to the land, so maybe Shemitah's Ksafim, they also enacted that it should only apply in Eretz Israel or in the places that are immediately adjacent to Eretz Israel. So that is the Trumas Hadeshin's rationale why in the Rosh's time in Europe, people were not keeping Shemitah's Ksafim. So we have number one, the Ravid. The Ravid says that Shemitah, that midrabanan, nowadays, there's no mitzvah of Shemitah altogether. Obviously a minority opinion. We know you can ask any farmer in Eretz Israel, they'll all tell you that they're keeping Shemitah. So the Ravid is obviously a minority opinion. We have the Trumas Hadeshin that Shemitah's Ksafim only applies in the adjacent areas immediately surrounding Eretz Israel. So we have the Ravid and we have the Trumas Hadeshin. The Sma, I'm skipping item test because I mentioned it already. The Sma in item Yud, he brings from the Ksuvas of Rosh another rationale. What did the Rosh mean when he said that he was screaming like a kruchya, that people should start using the mitzvah of Prusbel and mitzvah of Shemitah, but he was unsuccessful. The Rush says that he allowed people to continue collecting their loans. How could the Rush do that if he disagrees? So says the Rush, whatever the origins of this minig was, whether for some reason people conducted themselves according to the minority opinion of the Rebbe, or people held that Shemitah only applies in Eretz Israel, not in Chutz La'aretz, not in areas beyond Eretz Israel, you're allowed to collect your loan. Says the Rush, regardless of the rationale for the minig, I consider it a big mistake, says the Rush. I think that the loan should be canceled everywhere. You have to write a prusbel anywhere. But the Rush says, I'm going to allow people to collect the loan because regardless of the origin of this mistaken minig, says the Rush, at the end of the day, when people lend their money, they expect to get their money back because that was the minig, whatever the origins of the minig was. Says the Rush, since people are expecting to get their money back, it's as if they stipulated, it's as if they made a tenai. The Gemara in Makkos tells us that if you word the condition properly, you can actually stipulate against Shemitah. You can tell the loiva, you can't say that Shemitah doesn't cancel loans. That's not in your power. Shemitah does cancel loans. But you can say to the loiva, I'm only going to lend you the money on condition that you pay me back the money anyway, even though it's Shemitah. And if you don't pay back the money, I never would have lent it to you, and it would be considered theft. You can create this legal loophole to circumvent Shemitah. Says the Rush that regardless of the origins of the minik, whether it was proper to ignore Shemitah or whether it was improper to ignore Shemitah, it's irrelevant. At the end of the day, says the Rush, people are expecting to get their money back. Therefore, says the Rush, and the Sma explains, it's as if they stipulated that they're only lending the money on condition that they indeed get their money back. That's the Rush. So we have actually, we're discussing a lot of ideas here. Number one, for some reason, the minhag evolved to ignore Shemitah's Kesafim. The Rambam says perhaps the minhag was based on the minority opinion that Shemitah doesn't apply. The Trumas HaDeshen suggests perhaps the minhag was based on an idea that Shemitah was only enacted in Eretz Israel and the immediate surroundings, not in the rest of the world, against what the Rambam says. Whatever the origins of the minig was. And then we have the Rush. The Rush says it's almost irrelevant to go back in history and try to figure out why people started going that way. Whoever did it first maybe was wrong, but people have been doing it for generations. Now already, it's as if they stipulated that they would never have lent the money had they known that it would be canceled. And it's, for all intents and purposes, as if they made it tonight. That's what the Rush says. So it's very fascinating. Now, the Igros Moshe, so it's actually the same Rav Moshe, the Tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein that we quoted last week. The Igros Moshe in Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Dalet Simen Tes Vav, paskins, based on all of this, that if someone forgot to write a prosbo, the loive still has to pay, because that was the minik. And the Rav Moshe cites three reasons here, so I bolded Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. Number one, remember last week we mentioned that Rashi holds that regardless, even if Shemitah cancels the loan, there is a mitzvah derabbanon on the loiva to pay back anyway. And Rashi goes so far to say that you can coerce the loiva to gift you the money. So the Rush argued there. The Rush actually said, what kind of Shemitah is that if you can anyway force the loiva? So you can't actually force the loiva. But says Rav Moshe, everybody seems to agree that there's at least a mitzvah derabbanon for the loiva to pay back. Now that might not be something that's enforceable. It might not. You might not have recourse. But it's there. There's a mitzvah derabbanon for the loiva to pay back. That's point number one that the Rav Moshe reiterates. We mentioned that last week. Point number two, says the Rav Moshe, that the Balamor and the Ravid are of the opinion that there's no Shemitah Bizman Hazeh. And the Chumash Hadeshen adds that maybe in Chutz La'aretz there's no Shemitah. And the Ramah was relying on these opinions when he justified the minik. It's true that the Ramah said that the Iker, the Hakein Haskamas HaPoiskim, most Poiskim hold like the Rambam that it applies everywhere. But the Ramah acknowledges, and the Chumash HaRush acknowledge, that that's not the minik, that hasn't been the minik. People have been collecting loans even though they haven't been writing a prosbel. Now, Rav Moshe says like a very interesting halachic nuance here. He says, well, nowadays people do write a prosbel. you yourself write a prosbul every Shemitah. We're discussing a case where you forgot to write the prosbul. So how can we make a claim that you're owed the money anyway because the minig always was not to write a prosbul? Who cares what the minig used to be? Nowadays, people do write a prosbul. Right? There was a time when people weren't careful with the yashan. Nowadays, people, it's easier to observe the laws of yashan. There are more and more people. It's becoming more popular, so to speak, to keep the mitzvah of yashan. There was a time when people didn't check for shatness. The tools weren't in place. There was no infrastructure to collect to check for shatness. Nowadays, it's more common. Mitzvahs, so to speak, become more popular. So, true, the Ramah cites a minig that people never kept the laws of Shemitah's Ksafen. But that's history. Now people do write prosbul. You wrote a prosbul yourself. Last time, you forgot. So how can you claim that the minig is not the right prosbul? You yourself wrote a prosbul. So Rav Moshe says a beautiful nuance. Rav Moshe says that even the Ravid, who's of the opinion that Shemitah doesn't apply at all nowadays, agrees that it's a midas chasidus to observe Shemitah. That's what the Ravid says. It's praiseworthy. It's voluntary. It's noble to keep Shemitah. So Rav Moshe has an amazing nuance. The fact that people started to write prosbulim, it might not be a raya. The minhag doesn't say that we disagree with the old minhag. The old minhag was that Shemitah's Ksafim doesn't apply. People started writing prosbulim. Maybe they were writing it for Midas Chasidus. It's not a raya from the prevalent minhag. Nowadays we do write prosbulim. But it's not a raya from the prevalent minhag that we disagree with what it says in the Ramah. We might still agree that that is the formal minhag of Ashkenaz, not to write a prosbul. And we're only writing prosbul today because of Midas Chasidus. But we can still fall back. It's still a default position to fall back on the Ramah's minhag. Rav Moshe has a fascinating statement. He says there that most of what we do is based on the Ramah. If the Ramah says that that was not the minhag to write a prosbul, even though he himself doesn't agree, and we have the idea of the Ravid, we have the idea of the Ketubas HaRash, it's as if we stipulated, whatever the reasons are, but that was the minhag. The fact that we do write a prosbul does not necessarily negate the original minhag. Perhaps we only write a prosbul because of Midas Chasidus. It's interesting that we do things and we don't even know why we're doing them. So when you want to look back and say, what is the minhag? So we have to decide. The fact that we do it doesn't necessarily say that's the minhag. We have to look back and say, well, what's the origins of what we do? The fact that we do write prosbul today, does that mean that we hold that you have to? Or does that just mean that it's a midas chasidus? So since it's not compelling that we were disagreeing with the Ramah, we can still fall back on the Ramah. So it's a fascinating Igris Moshe. The Igris Moshe actually paskins that if you forget to write a prosbul, you can collect the money anyway. And if you can't find a bezdin that's prepared to help you collect the money, you can even resort to other methods to get the money. It's fascinating that Rav Moshe says that we still are bound by the minhag of the Ramah, even though the Ramah himself disagrees with the minhag, but the Ramah testifies that that was the minhag. So the Malva has every right to get his money back based on the early European minhag, not the keep shmita. It's a fascinating concept. You have to go ask your local rabbi, and if a person forgets to write a prosbul, obviously he's going to have to get someone to help him collect the money, but you have that Igris Moshe. The Poskim have a very interesting question. This is item Yud Beis. What happens about a Baal Tshuva? You have someone who became religious, and he's in his 40s, he's in his 50s, he becomes religious. He learns about Shemitah, and he says, you know what? I'm in my 50s. I went through at least the 7 Shemitahs, and I never knew that the loan is canceled. So, you know, I'm a big businessman. I've been lending and dealing with hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. And it turns out that all of that money was canceled, and I'm sitting here with my millions in the bank because I've been collecting loans. Maybe the guy, who knows, maybe the guy's a banker. Maybe the guy's a bank. He's been collecting loans, and all of these loans were canceled. And I collected them. What do I do now? So that's a big question. So seemingly, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, this Baal Tshuva who's been collecting money all the years is not worse than someone who forgot to write a prosbul. So he would be able to keep the money according to Rav Moshe Feinstein because the official minhag is that we treat the Prusbel as a Midas Chasidus, and whether we like it or not, the minhag was not to write a Prusbel, and therefore the debt is in force. Certainly, if you collected the money already, you would not be obligated to return the money. That's seemingly what Rav Moshe Feinstein would say. The Mincha Shlomer of Shlomo Zalman, Zatzal, adds another idea. And that's why I mentioned it again at the beginning of this class. The Shitas Yoreim was that the loan is not an afkat of the Malva. The loan is not automatically canceled. You need the Malva to be meichel the money. So if you've been mistakenly collecting loans all the years, not knowing that you had a mitzvah to be meichel the loan, the money is yours. So you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of being meichel the money, but you're not a thief. You're holding money that rightfully belongs to you because you never were meichel the loan. You should have been meichel the loan because there's a mitzvah to be meichel, to say shamet ani, but at least now that you collected all that money, the money is rightfully yours. That would be the shittas for Reim. Now, as we've said many times, we don't paskin like the Reim. We paskin that it's an afkata the malka. We paskin that the loan is canceled automatically. But perhaps the malva could say kimli. Perhaps the malva could say, now that I'm a muchzik and I'm holding the money, prove to me that the halacha is not like the Reim. Prove to me that the loan was canceled automatically. Perhaps I needed to be meichel the money, which I wasn't, because I've been collecting all the loans all the time, and perhaps I can keep the money. So you can't be moitzi the mamon from the muchzik, because he was not meichel the money. So perhaps the malve can turn the tables and say, now that I have the money already, the burden of proof, so to speak, is on you, that the loan was automatically canceled. Maybe I need to be meichel the loan, which I was not meichel the loan. So the Mincha Shlomo adds that idea on top of what it says in the Igris Moshe. So someone asked the question: how could the loan be canceled today if it's only the Rabbanon? So we mentioned because Hefker Bez and Hefker, right? The Rabbanon canceled the loan. Hefker Bez and Hefker. So the Rabbanon patterned Shemitah after the Shemitah. If anything, someone could argue that nowadays the money is more Hefker than in the times of the Torah, the times of Midaraisa, because maybe, perhaps even the Re'im would agree. Remember, how could the rabbis institute Shemitah if Midaraisa doesn't apply and the Leiva has to pay? So we explain, Rava says, Hefker Bez and Hefker. So in a way, the money is more canceled today on a rabbinic level than it was back then on a Midaraisa level. So Rav Shlomo Zalman's Taina is not necessarily so compelling because somebody could argue that the Rabbanan is stricter than the Midaraisa. Because the Deraisa required the Malva to be Meichel the loan, and the Gemara clearly says that the Rabbanon Shemitah cancels the loan automatically. So somebody could make that, could challenge Rav Shlomo Zalman's claim with that. Okay, but in any case, Rav Moshe, you would be able to keep the money after the fact, and Rav Shlomo Zalman, on top of that, he throws the Shita of the Re'im into the mix to further reinforce the case for this Malva who collected the money, who's been collecting money all along. We have to mention that Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Lebad Lechaim, writes in Derech Emunah, in the ninth parak of Shemitah, in his Bir Halacha, that a Baal Tshuva would be required to return all of that money. He'd have to track down the Loivis, and he would be required to return all that money because it's an Afgata de Malka, Hefker Bezen Hefker, and the money's not his. He's considered holding on to money that doesn't belong to him, and he'd be required to track down the loivis or their descendants and return all that money. But so this would be a big shaila. But the Rav Moshe Feinstein would seem to say that even if he didn't write a prosbul, and Rav Shlomo Zalman also entertains that the malva would be able to keep the money after the fact. Now, some interesting shailas. Rav Shlomo Zalman, if we go with the Trumas Adeshin, and again, all of this is speculative because the Rambam paskins that Shemitah applies universally everywhere, but the Trumas Adeshin entertained the notion that Shemitah only applies in Eretz Yisrael and the loans are not canceled in Chutz Laretz. Just again, the Trumas Adeshin was only trying to suggest where this minute came from not to keep Shemitah's Ksafim. It's against what it says in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. So we don't paskin like this. We paskin like the Rambam. You should write a prosbul. We're all discussing. This is all academic and this is all after the fact. In any case, Rav Shlomo Zalman wants to know, if we would assume like the Trumas Adeshin, that Shemitah's Ksafim only applies in Eretz Israel. So now you have the obvious questions. What would happen if the borrower, the loive, lives in Eretz Israel and the malve lives in Chutz Laretz? So I lent you money. You decided to go on Aliyah. You decided, or forget about going on Aliyah. You decided to spend Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot in Eretz Israel this coming Rosh Hashanah. So you were physically in Eretz Israel at the time of the cancellation. So do you follow the malve? I'm living in Chutz Laretz. Or do you follow the loive? So objectively, what's the prohibition to collect the money? What cancels the money? What cancels the loan is the prohibition to collect. The pasuk says, lo yigois es chaveroi es esreihu. You can't press. You can't approach your friend. You can't press your friend. So seemingly, the mitzvah is on the malve. Shamatani, I have to be meichel the money, like the re'im, or I can't press you for the money. Seemingly, the mitzvah is mitzad the malve. In other words, the loan is canceled, whether the malva has to forgive the loan manually, according to the Re'im, or whether the loan is canceled automatically. It all stems from the prohibition of the malva to collect the money. So someone could argue that if the malva is living in Chutz Laretz and he's not subject to the mitzvah of Shemitah, he's allowed to press you for the money. So you can't run off and hide in Eretz Israel, because it doesn't go according to the loive, it goes according to the malve, because I don't have a prohibition against pressing you for the money. However, the Rav Shlomo Zalman is not sure. Maybe it goes according to where the loan is. The loan is in Eretz Israel. Even if it didn't occur in Eretz Israel, but the money is owed to you from Eretz Israel. So maybe it doesn't go according to the malve, maybe it goes according to the loive. Now, the truth is that we don't even have to come on to the opinion of the Trumas Adeshin to wonder this, right? The Trumas Adeshin is a novel minority opinion that Shemitah doesn't apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. Even if we go with the conventional Rambam that it applies everywhere, we could still wonder in the following scenario. Imagine if the Loive is in Eretz Yisrael for Rosh Hashanah, and I'm in Philadelphia for Rosh Hashanah. So Shemitah, Rosh Hashanah starts 6 or 7 hours earlier for someone in Eretz Israel, because he's further west. Is that correct? He's further west. For us, it's still the morning, and for them, it's the night. So for them, it could be Rosh Hashanah already, and for us, it's not yet Rosh Hashanah. So we could wonder the exact same question practically. Can I still write a prosbo before east? Thank you. Eretz Israel is further east. That's why the sun didn't set yet over there. So the sun set already in Eretz Israel. So for them, it's Rosh Hashanah of the 8th year. For us, it's still Erev Rosh Hashanah, still in the middle of the 7th year. So for us, the loan was not yet canceled, but for him, it would be canceled. So we can wonder the same question. Do you look at it from the perspective of the Malva? Or do you look at it from the perspective of the loive? So this would be an interesting question, and there's no clear resolution of these issues. Who would you follow? And this is a practical question. You know where they ask this question? They ask this question also regarding Pesach. What happens if you're in Eretz Yisrael? So for you it's Pesach, but your chametz is in the United States. It's not yet Pesach. So is the chametz forbidden in Hana, because on Pesach the chametz is also b'hana, or is the chametz still mutar b'hana? Right. So over there the consensus is that there are two parts to the prohibition of chametz. One part of the prohibition of chametz is you're not allowed to own chametz. The other part of the prohibition is that the chametz is also b'hana. So it seems that they split it, that the prohibition to own chametz goes according to the owner. So since you're in Eretz Israel, you are in violation of owning chametz, because for you it's Pesach. However, the chametz back here could still be mutter b'hana, because that goes according to the cheftza of the chametz. That goes according to the location of the chametz, because that's a halacha that applies to the actual chametz. Is the box of cereal asur b'hana or not? So over here in the United States, it's not. But you might still be in violation of owning chametz because you are in Eretz Yisrael. Over there, that's more clear cut. Over here, this is a fundamental question, if the loan goes according to the lender or the loan goes according to the borrower. Okay. Yasha Koyach, everybody.
Shkoyach. Thank you very much.
Shkoyach, thank you, Jeff.